Jacqueline Magne, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. You know what I think we know is that you love Barcelona.
Well, I had a fabulous time. I was there over the weekend at the Circuit de Catalunya, which is, of course, the Spanish Grand Prix, and it was the most exciting Grand Prix I've seen.
Yeah.
And a lot of more experienced people said that it was the most exciting levels I've seen. I mean, the race between Sebastian Vettel and Lewis Hamilton, you know, the overtaking, the wheel-to-wheel racing, it was really exciting stuff. And, of course, for Daniel Ricciardo to just mosey around in, you know, he was in fourth place for a while, and then Valtteri Bottas had engine failure, and, you know, Daniel Ricciardo didn't have to do too much except just kind of mosey through the countryside and pick up the third place. So it was a really great weekend.
Jacqueline, you were actually there in the press conference. Did Sebastian Vettel try and hit you up?
Well, he did ask for my number, yes, but I'd like to say it was because of my wit and charm.
Oh, of course.
It was because I had asked a question about the physical demands of the race. Halfway through the race, Lewis Hamilton sounded exhausted on the team radio. And, you know, with the new cars, the demands on the drivers. And Lewis Hamilton doesn't drink during the race. He says it's to save on weight. So that's quite extraordinary. But I asked Lewis Hamilton the question, and also being Australian, I was also interested in how Daniel Ricciardo felt about the physical demands, and I didn't ask Sebastian Vettel, and he got a little bit offended and kind of said, well, you know, he was going to take it as a compliment that I didn't kind of notice that he was looking so shattered, and so he thought that we could exchange phone numbers and after the race because I was being so nice to him.
So did you?
Well, I'll keep that confidential. Depends, when he rings me, I'll let you know.
Well, it's nice to see you weren't offended by it and took it as a professional slight. Now, and Daniel Ricciardo said he was nearly a lap behind, wasn't he?
Well, he was 74 seconds in arrears. Now, he wasn't, he was far enough ahead from you know, the Force India cars behind him. So he wasn't actually racing, but he was still a long way behind. Red Bull have a lot of ground to make up. They'd had upgrades going into this event, and they will have more upgrades in Monaco in a fortnight's time. But they are still so far behind Mercedes and Ferrari, and it's not a great position to be in. Daniel Ricciardo was really relieved and happy to be on the podium, but he was immediately also very concerned that he was so far away from the action.
Yeah.
He didn't see it. So, you know, the mechanics and the engineers are obviously going to be working overtime to try and make up that deficit. Monaco will be a lot easier, not easier, but it will be suit his racing a little bit better because of the tight, twisting circuit. A lot will come down to the pole positions and qualifying for that. But still, it was great to see him on the podium, no matter how he got there.
Yeah, and Queenslander Matt Campbell, he's got a third place in the Porsche Super Cup.
Yeah, that's really exciting. I mean, he has been dominating touring car racing in Australia, from what I understand. And I was there on the sidelines. I thought, oh, who's this guy? It turns out he's an Australian. I mean, there's a lot of raps on Matt Campbell, and this was his first European race, first time out of Australia. Here he is competing against some really experienced drivers, including one of Red Bull's test drivers. And he was in pole position in two races. The first race, he missed the start and finished fifth. But the second race, he finished third. So he was absolutely ecstatic to have performed so well in his first European event. And he's now on Super Cup series. And, you know, a lot of people have good raps on him.
Jacqueline, I know you've been away, so you might not be chasing this story, but I know the headlines are starting to hit London now in England that Australia might not have an Ashes team because of this contract dispute with the players and the governing body. Can you imagine that if England are touring and there's I'll call it a second-tier Australian side playing, what this is going to get some English reaction?
It will, and I have seen it. It is hitting various websites and newspapers as we speak, but there hasn't been a very strong reaction. I think everyone's a little bit shocked by the what's developed, and I think most people think that it will be sorted out by the time of the tour and that there won't be any serious ramifications from this. Now, that's because we're over the other side of the world here and we're not so closely involved or hearing what you guys are hearing. That may change in the next 24, 48 hours, but at this stage, it doesn't seem that we haven't had any reaction here to indicate that people are concerned.
Very good. And Nick Kyrgios, what's he up to?
New coach?
Well, apparently he's got a new coach, which is the Sebastian Grosjean, the French Frenchman. He's playing in the Rome Masters. He plays tomorrow. And also, you know, it's just quite encouraging, isn't it, that he seems to have turned around a few of his attitude issues. And the French press are certainly saying that Grosjean is behind that. They're taking credit. But also at the Rome Masters, Maria Sharapova has just won her first round match, and that means she's earned enough points to now go straight into the Wimbledon qualifying draw. If she gets to the semi-finals in this tournament, she'll also get enough points to go into the draw proper for Wimbledon. So there's still ongoing controversy about her. And Roger Federer has withdrawn from the French Open, saying he just wants to concentrate on Wimbledon. So there's a bit of tennis news coming out at the moment.
Good on you, Jack. Have a great week.
Thanks, guys. You too.